Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, this is John Jackson back with you. Aaron is in D.C., and he's going to be back with you live tomorrow from up there. I'm sure he's going to have all kind of cool guests and up-to-date information about everything going on in the swamp. But here we are at the 9 a.m. hour, and I need you guys to call in. Anything you want to talk about, 406-294-0970. I want to make that announcement for you folks here in Yellowstone County one more time about the election. Got local election coming up next week. And make sure today, I guess, is the last day that you can confidently mail in your ballot and make sure that it'll get there on time. Mail it out today. If for whatever reason you don't get to it today, after today, walk it down to the courthouse down there because you want to make sure your vote gets counted. And also, I guess on the outside of the ballot, you got to put your year of birth on there. Make sure and put that in as well. Also on the elections here, just so everybody knows, in case, you know, depending on your district, where you're at out there, the people to vote for are the following: Pittman, Redmond, Rogers, Tidswell, O'Donnell, and then Jennifer Owen as mayor. And if any of y'all didn't get that, reach out to me on X out here on Twitter or anybody out there you know that's into politics, and they'll let you know. Don't fill out that ballot until you know exactly who that is you're voting for. And I saw one, you know what they do with these judges a lot of times here in Montana is you're given a option of whether or not to keep them for another term. And you'll see that person up there as just, you know, there won't even be anybody, any other alternative. It'll just be that person. Do we want to keep them for another term? I don't think I've ever elected to keep one of them. Now under Governor Gianforte, and you know there are a couple of good ones out there, and we'll remind you who they are. But for now, I'm not keeping any of them. Right. So I see Dave in Eureka. Hold on, Dave, and stand by. We're going to get to you coming up in the next segment because we're going to be to the break really quickly here. We got a lot to talk about out here, but the biggest thing we have to go over again is the shutdown. The government shutdown, who's doing it, why, and how so much of your money is tied up in this, and the future of your health care, your kids, your grandkids, all of this is in the balance right now. And this is the time for Republicans to just allow Obamacare to die. Let it blow up right in the Democrats' faces. They made this bed and let them sleep in it for once. Don't come in and save them from their own policies. We just can't be doing that anymore.
Montana. Big topics. Big ideas. Big sky. Montana Talks.
Hey, there we go. There we go. It looks like we got Rhonda. Go ahead and send me Rhonda over here, Caden. And send that to me, and I will click it. Let's see. Do not see it popping over. Let's see. Stand by one. All right. It's not coming over. Okay. All right. Well, I know that Rhonda wanted to talk about the SNAP benefits expiring. And let's see, here Caden is saying my computer is slow, not working. So we will just roll on. Hopefully his computer will get going there in a second. Really big news. I just got this an hour ago from X. Have you guys been watching what President Trump and Pete Hegseth are doing down in the Caribbean? They have put a battle group and a whole bunch of our military assets down there in the Caribbean. And they are covering that whole northern hemisphere of South America, that corridor of drug smuggling that comes out of South America going into the Caribbean and then eventually making its way into the United States. And the last count I saw is that they have now splashed, meaning targeted and blown up, 4 drug smuggling boats. I don't know the count on how many KIAs we have behind that. Most of these people are terrorists and terrorist-related out of Venezuela. They've been declared terrorists. And so President Trump has flat out said, you're not going to be doing that anymore. You're not going to be bringing that stuff into our country. And if we catch you on the high seas with it, we're just going to do away with you. Well, just now here an hour ago, 4 more vessels have been taken out. And 14 terrorists were killed in these strikes. Apparently, they don't think we're serious yet. Because I tell you something, I was involved in this stuff for a very, very long time. And what the traffickers would do after that first or second hit is they would just slow down. They would just say, okay, we're going to back up operations for a second. And we'll wait till this passes. Because they know that eventually these things stop. These operations will stop. They won't go on more than 90 days or 6 months, and they'll just hang back and send it in another way. Let's see. Let me check in with Caden. Are we back up yet again, Caden, on the callers? Okay. Now he says we have got on line 4. We've got Marilyn and Lolo. Go ahead and send that to me, Caden, and I'll click on it. There we go. Stand by. Hold on, Marilyn. All right. Good morning, Marilyn. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. So I am putting myself out here to kind of vulnerable. We have been having trouble with the United States Post Office about a dozen of our...
Marilyn, I'm sorry. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. We're gonna have to call back on that. I could not hear you. Caden's saying there's not much we can do about that one right there. Hopefully, we'll get better audio on the next call. We're having a lot of trouble with our callers here this morning. And then when we went over to the Teams thing, then trying to get back to the regular operation was just causing too much. Too much bad air and dead air going out as we were trying to go back and forth. So hopefully we'll get that audio a little bit better. If you callers, you want to call in or you want to send us a message out there on the app, and we'll just take up your issue right from there. Let's see. All right. We'll get rid of that right there. I'm not going to mess with that anymore, Caden. We'll take care of that during the breaks. Let's see, Zoran Mamdani. We've talked about him a lot here this morning and what he's getting ready to do to New York. They had a great chart I saw that came out yesterday. This was from CIS.org. And it shows the breakdown of people receiving welfare benefits in this country. Illegal alien households receiving 59% of all of them are getting welfare benefits. And they break them down, cash, food, Medicaid, housing, all of that. But in every one, it is either the illegal or the legal, the ones that have been legalized, all of them leading the pack far and over anybody who is a U.S.-born household. In other words, these illegals and these people that Joe Biden decided to give legal status to, they're all here doing what? Sucking the money out of your welfare system. Suck it. Like somebody made the point yesterday, these SNAP benefits. What do you think? And we had... Brian Bussard from Reminis Angus calling in, and we're talking about the price of everything in the grocery store. What do you think would happen to the price of groceries out there if all of a sudden, say, half of these SNAP benefits went away? What do you think? What do you think would happen? You know what would happen. The prices would go down right away. Because they have to now entice you back into the grocery store. They don't have all that free government money coming in anymore. So they have to actually compete. Right? Think about that for a second. That's yet another reason why our prices stay steady or keep going up. Never forget, anything the government sticks its head into is always going to be messed up.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, you know what we're going to do? We're going to try this one more time. Caden, send me Mary Lynn here. We'll see if we can get her on. Let's see. Mary Lynn, let's try you again there, darling. Do you hear me?
Yes, sir.
What you got for us this morning?
So we are having... Okay, I can hear that. Back. Anyway, we're having trouble with our mail getting through. We sent our bills to the city system, and some of them are taking a month or 2 months to get to the destination. We've had to pay late charges and insurance and do stop payments and wonder if anybody else is having any trouble.
Where are you from, Mayor? Where are you at?
We're in Lolo. We're dropping stuff, and usually we drop it in our big metal mailbox at the end of our road.
And where are you sending things to? Are you sending it way out of state? Where are you sending it to?
I had one item take 2 months to get with Lolo to even fill. Honest to goodness.
Oh,
and
wow.
And other things are California and Seattle.
Well, thank you very much for the call, Marilyn. Yeah, that was still really bad audio there. We could barely hear you. But she is talking about what I can make out. She's complaining about mail service, and mail service for some reason taking a very long time to get even to different places in Montana and out of state. I have not heard of that. I haven't heard a lot of people complaining about that. Who knows? You may have Newman. Newman may be running your mail. Maybe he's taking your mail and you know, throwing it in a closet somewhere, and it's just not getting out. I don't know about that. The only problem I've had with deliveries lately has been from people like FedEx. And you're ordering something, say you want to have a thing and you pay extra for it to get here in 3 days, or you want to get it overnighted. Well, you know, they're going to charge you that 20, 30, 30 bucks, whatever it is to do that. You pay that money, and then it doesn't get there. It still gets there. You paid the money, and it doesn't get there in the time that they said it was going to get there. So, Caden, do we have somebody on line four? We have Tracy in Kalispell. Go ahead and send me that, and we'll see how that audio sounds. Let's see. Stand by. There we go. Tracy, good morning.
Good morning. I have a quick comment. My husband and I and 3 children were on SNAP over 45 years ago because the lumber mills went down. SNAP was only meant to be temporary help until you got back to work. That's what it should have remained. That's all I have. Thank you, John.
Thank you. No, you're absolutely right, Tracy. Absolutely right. What she's saying there is that she and her family many, many years ago got on SNAP because they lost their main jobs. And they were only on it for a little bit until they got back up on their feet and got another job. And that's what that's for. And I don't think anybody out there would say that, you know, say your state, for me, forget about the federal government, but say your state shouldn't have some kind of fund for people like that who are, you know, truly destitute and, you know, need just some short-term assistance. But see, as you know, these programs, while they're set out maybe with good intentions, the minute Democrats get a hold of them, it's taken to the nth degree. Because why? What do Democrats want? They want all of us out there dependent on the government. Because why? Because then you'll vote more for them. And see, also now we're also where that dependency on the government and that government spending fulfills the Democrats' long-term strategy of overthrow. Because that's something that everybody has to wrap their heads around. Watch everything these Democrats do. And I don't just mean in D.C. Watch what they do here in Montana. Everything is about destruction. It's about destroying your way of life through rampant crime, through taxation and spending. Like I said, we're at $38 trillion in debt right now. We're broke. And what they want all of this to do eventually with illegal immigration and climate change and all this stuff is to break the system, overload the system, to break the system. Then they're going to turn around. They're the guys that broke it. Then they're going to turn around and say, oh, my gosh, look at that thing. It's broken. We have a better way. And if we could do this better way if we just get rid of that pesky Constitution. You know, and all those pesky rights out here. And we'll just remake this place in a new way. Because you got to see, that old way didn't work, right? It didn't work. It's so ridiculous what they're trying to do. But see, they know that a big portion of the voting base out there, particularly of their voting base, are that stupid. Or they're that malevolent, that vicious, that they would gladly go along with something like that. It's scary. It's like the whole notion of Obamacare right now and this government shutdown. What did Obama do in 2010 when they passed Obamacare? They said the government has to get involved in this because it's so messed up. Well, see, it was so messed up to begin with because the government was sticking their heads in the middle of it. Well, see, what he did in 2010 was come along and say, it's so messed up, so we need to get more involved. And so they passed Obamacare. And now they're even more involved in it now, and it's even more effed up. So then that's the way for them to eventually lead you down the road of saying, this whole thing, we just have to take the whole thing over because it just doesn't work. And if you can imagine the stupidity of somebody listening to that and believing it. Because all you have to do is look around the world at all these other countries that have this socialized medicine. Look right across the border here, folks. I mean, we're here in Montana. Look right across the border, our border into Canada. That's what they have up there is socialized medicine, and it's awful. It is absolutely terrible. That people come down here, they'll cross the border down into the United States to pay cash to get stuff done down here. You go to try to see a doctor or get anything done up there in Canada, you're talking about months before you'll get in to see anybody. Months for just simple things like MRIs and, say, simple non-emergency operations. You know, think about like a knee replacement, hip replacement, something like that. You're talking months and months and months. But they think, well, see, they know that their base are slack-jawed morons, but they think you are too. They think you don't understand what's going on here and that the government needs to have more control. Guys, let me tell you something right here. I worked for the federal government for 30 years. I know absolutely of what I speak. Do not let these guys do a single thing other than what it says in the Constitution. Y'all remind me out there. What does it say in the Constitution that the powers or the duties of the federal government are? It's to borders, the military, safety, and probably infrastructure. And that's it. they should not be involved in another single thing. Because I'm here to tell you right now, these guys can't make a cup of coffee. Look at every single government program you know anything about. What does it do? It is the most inefficient, expensive, bureaucratic thing you'll ever have to be involved in. It never runs efficiently, cheaply, or like it's supposed to. Not ever. If y'all know me one that works that way, please call in and tell me. Because in my 30 years in federal law enforcement, I had occasion to deal with almost every other section of the federal government in one way or another. And everywhere I went, it is a unmitigated nightmare. But they want you to believe that you need more of this. I don't ever call myself a smart man. I mean, I went to a state college, and I'm just a caveman cop. But even I know how ridiculously stupid that is. The free market should decide everything. The free market will eventually tell you how things should be. I always make that analogy to McDonald's. You know why McDonald's can give you a good-tasting burger and probably the best fries out there and some really tasty shakes, and they can give it to you in a couple of minutes? Because they have to compete. They have to compete with Wendy's and Hardee's every other burger place in town. See, that's the thing. The government doesn't have to compete with anybody. So they just do it however they want to do it. And come when they fail, things don't go away. They just come back and ask you for more money. You know what? If the government ran McDonald's, you know what you'd get? You would get a quarter pounder with cheese that costs $20. It would take you an hour to get it, and it would taste like crap. I mean, without a doubt. There's just there is 50, 70 years of experience behind this. It's not a guess. It's not a theory. It's a fact. So anybody out there that ever tells you we need to have more government involved in anything, I don't care what it is, they are absolutely ignorant and full of Adam Schiff, and they just now disqualified themselves from having an opinion in any of this. Right? Listen for that. I think the government should... No, no, no.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says a framework deal with China that President Trump and China's Xi Jinping must still be finalized this week and could be the breakthrough soybean farmers have been looking for.
I'm not going to give you the details here, but I can tell you that the soybean farmers are going to be extremely happy with this deal for this year and for the coming years.
The Treasury Secretary on CBS's Face the Nation Sunday after the U.S. announced reaching a framework deal with China on soybeans and other goods while in Malaysia for trade talks.
I believe that we have brought the market back into equilibrium, and I believe that the Chinese will be making substantial purchases again.
The framework deal to de-escalate trade fights over soybeans, rare earth minerals, Trump's 100% tariff threat, and TikTok must still be finalized by Trump and Xi Jinping. That could happen later in the week when the two meet in South Korea. The Trump administration kept pressure on China as U.S. Trade Ambassador Jameson Greer launched a trade investigation of China's Phase 1 deal compliance, telling Congress earlier.
The Chinese did not comply with this agreement in large part. It's not surprising, but we are certainly disappointed by that.
The U.S. also signed trade deals with Malaysia and Cambodia and frameworks with Vietnam and Thailand for reduced tariffs and non-tariff barriers. Thailand also agreed to buy $2.6 billion per year in U.S. soybean meal and ag goods. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
The Fall.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, there we are. We are back. We are back. Got a message from the menace from Ennis. And he said, the government could not run a lemonade stand. And that is correct. menace. That is exactly correct. Exactly what I was making the comparison to McDonald's a minute ago. Had some breaking news just now. I was saying, this actually surprises me that there was a plan out there with this government shutdown thing that some people were thinking, okay, let's get a very, very specific line item, say, type of bill through, appropriation bill, to pay the air traffic controllers. And John Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, just came out here just minutes ago, and he's shooting that down, believe it or not. And he's telling you, as far as I can tell, the absolute unvarnished truth about this, which shocks the crap out of me. I'll just have to say that right up, because I'm not used to this kind of truth-telling from these people. What he said was, we can't do that, because if we do that, then that's going to set up, inevitably, it's going to set up all kind of other little individual funding bills, funding SNAP, funding this and that and the next thing. And then that's going to allow the Democrats, we're basically going to help the Democrats dig themselves out of this hole that they created. Bravo, Mr. Thune. Bravo, hooray, yippee, Yahtzee, bingo. You are exactly right. And I think they thought, this is boomeranging back on the Democrats. They thought this whole thing was going, they were going to use this suffering and all of this to get their, to pressure the Republicans. But it's going back on them now. It's boomeranging back on them now. And they'd like to take the off-ramp here, the easy off-ramp, without it looking like that they caved. And see, that's a whole other side issue to that. Most of this is being led by Chuck Schumer. Obviously, the House has already passed their bill. It can't get by the Senate because of the filibuster in the Senate. Well, Chuck Schumer leads the Democrats in the Senate. And Chuck Schumer is scared to death of the far, far communist left wing of his party. That's AOC and Bernie and getting ready to be Mamdani and all of those types, that if he caves again here, they're coming for him. They'll come for him. You know, somebody, probably AOC, or somebody will primary him in his next election. He's doing this just as a matter of survival and does not want to be seen as though he caved here. And really, both sides, with their rhetoric, particularly the Democrats, have dug such a deep hole for themselves here. I don't know how they get out of it, because Mike Johnson now, President Trump, you've heard this for weeks and weeks and weeks. They are saying no how, no way in hell are we giving them more money for Obamacare and more money for illegal alien health care. No way in hell. It's not happening. And the Democrats on the other side are saying no way in hell we're going to do this without that. It's really, really some definitive lines in the sand here that have been drawn that I don't see how the Democrats are getting their way out of this. And see, they're the ones that started it, and everybody knows it. They're the ones that have refused to vote for, 13, 14 times now of a clean, continuing resolution. Not anything new, not anything revolutionary in spending, just a clean CR, and they won't do it. They're the ones that won't give up 7 votes to do it. Everybody knows this is their shutdown. And even the mainstream media out there calls them on this pretty regularly. Well, aren't you the people that, you know, won't just sign a clean CR? They do it with, don't get me wrong, they do it with a velvet glove, but they do it to them. On to the next topic here this morning. You guys have been watching, we've been reporting on this for 6-8 months now, what I would call the judicial insurrection in this country. The Democrats have nothing. They don't control either house. They don't really have an effective leadership out there, anybody that the public is really listening to. So the only thing they have is their activists wearing robes out there on the federal bench. And those people have been activated. The button has been pushed, and the message has gone out to all of them. All the lawsuits coming up in front of you, just grant the injunction. Just agree with it right away, and we're going to use this as a way to block, intimidate, harass, delay the Trump administration. I saw the other day Trump has now had in his first term and then now, so we say 5 years, 140 injunctions filed against his administration. I think the nearest one next to him was Biden with not even half of that. It's outrageous. The latest thing, you had an activist judge blocking President Trump from banning taxpayer dollars from funding transgender indoctrination and gender identity in education programs. In other words, a independent federal judge out there is just saying, telling the president he's going to spend money on this stuff being taught in schools. And see, you know how ridiculous that is. You know that the first appeals court is going to shoot this down, but you're more than likely. And when it gets to SCOTUS, it's going to get shot down probably in 2 to 3 months. These things have been taking a couple, 3 months on the emergency docket to get ruled on. And I think President Trump is winning in just about every single one of them that gets to SCOTUS. And he's even winning at the Ninth Circuit. You guys know the infamous Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in this country, long thought to be one of the worst, one of the far left-wing loons forever. They're now knocking down these federal judge decisions out of California and Oregon and other places because they're just so ludicrous. They pretend like they're going to tell President Trump when he can be the commander-in-chief, when he can use the National Guard, when he can use his own federal agencies, how he can use his own federal agencies, that federal agents need to take down a security fence in front of their own office while they're being besieged by domestic terrorists at Antifa. I mean, think about how ridiculous that is. But the good news is, did you guys see yesterday? All of a sudden, the Portland police, who have been for months now openly and actively aiding and abetting the domestic terrorists of Antifa out there as they laid siege to the ICE office out there. Now, in the last 2 days, they have come out there. The Portland police have been activated. They came out there, cleared everybody out, and then came through and cleared out their encampments. Cleaned up the street. I mean, bing, bang, boom, serve pro, like it never even happened. All of a sudden, out of nowhere. Well, gosh, gee whiz, guys, wonder why that happened. And you know why. Because any minute now, President Trump had already won his case on the National Guard being deployed out there. And any minute, the Guard was going to be parachuting in there to Portland, and they were going to unleash hell on these people. And it was going to be politically embarrassing. So they took it right up to the last minute and then sent their cops out there to clean it up and get rid of them. And the word has gone out. You guys stand down. Stand down for now. Because we lost in court, and President Trump is actually going to do something about this. The idea that, once again, in this country, the United States of America, a federal law enforcement agency could be laid siege to by domestic terrorists day and night for months, impeding, obstructing, assaulting them at every minute. Did you ever think you would see that in the United States? Do you ever think something like that would ever be tolerated? We say this a lot of times in, you know, in our spaces and on our podcast out here, but I'll repeat it again for the radio audience. By God, you people better be glad out there that I'm not running that stuff. Because 2 months ago, I would have rounded up 200 federal agents from other offices around the country, and we would have sprang a trap on every one of you and put you down on the pavement with extreme prejudice, and we would have done it over and over and over again until you stopped.
Montana.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, right before the break, we were talking about ICE and the domestic terrorists of Antifa. Well, that brings us into the continuing saga of our boy Kilmar. You know, Aaron calls him Kilmore. Kilmar Abrego Garcia, who this scumbag, illegal, wife-beating human trafficker, who got, if you got, you guys remember, got sent down to El Salvador, and the Democrats had to go down to El Salvador and have a drink with him. And judges are making Kilmar and one or two more of these scumbags their martyrs in their fight to stop President Trump from deporting the scum of the third world out of here. And, you know, this guy has got a, God knows, a legal team of how many lawyers paid for free, well, paid out of your tax money, that are challenging his deportation and his criminal cases against him at every single point. And most, in most cases, get these leftist judges to go right along with them. The latest thing that I'm hearing is that he already has a final order of deportation. But now they've found something else to file, something, I don't know, vindictive prosecution or something like that. You know, that's what they do, these lawyers do. Well, they would just keep filing stuff. And if they can find a friendly judge to get in front of course, then that judge is going to agree with them and take up the case just so they can delay and maybe eventually kill any effort to deport the scumbag. But now, apparently, Friday, apparently, the Trump administration is pushing with everything they can do to get rid of this guy on Friday. And because he had to come out and say that he's scared to go anywhere in Latin America, he would be in fear for his life. You know, he's claimed that. So they're going to send him to Liberia. I guess that's the last place I heard where he may be getting sent to. And here's the thing. Once again, like I said before the break, better be glad that me or some of my friends are not in charge of this effort, because I'm telling you right now, Kilmar, no matter what happens, if some judge lets you go here, if you somehow get out of this, and a couple of these other Muslim scumbags that are terrorists up there on the campuses in the New York area, they've gotten cut loose while they challenge their cases. You better be glad I'm not running this, because what I would be doing, I'd put a team on you, and we're just going to watch you for a little while. And, you know, the minute that you're not paying attention, a van is going to come up beside you and open the door, and some masked men are going to pull you in that van, and we're going to take you to an Air Force base, and next thing you know, we're going to pull a hood off your head, and you're going to wake up in Liberia. See ya. That's exactly what we would do to these people. That's what should be done to them. And if you just need to let these people know that no matter what, you're not going to get to walk the streets of the United States. You are a criminal. You're a human trafficker. You're an illegal alien. And we're going to get you out of here one way or another. So you might as well make it less painful on yourself and do it right now. Kilmar, you might as well have just taken the deportation, go, and then you make your way back here. maybe in 90 days, maybe try to make your way back. But see, now you wanted to pull this nonsense, it's going to be way harder on you. That's the lesson we have to teach all of these people. We will win in the end. That's the lesson. And it's going to be more pain on you. Our favorite mainstream media folks out there just never cease to amaze. Headline from 60 Minutes. Of course, the most august and revered professional investigative journalists out there. What a joke. They're actually the oldest version of scam, setup, ambush, edit, dishonest, lying journalism that there is out there in television, because they've been doing it since the 70s. But they got this headline out here that I saw yesterday. You guys will think this is funny. I'll read it to you. Hunger, chronic blackouts, and scarcity of essential medicines plague Venezuela. Today, more than 70% of residents live in poverty. A stunning reversal of fortune for a nation that was once one of the wealthiest countries in the world. Read that to you again. A stunning reversal of fortune for a nation that was once one of the wealthiest countries in the world. Well, gosh gee willikers, guys, what do you think caused that reversal of fortune? Took them from hero to zero. It is socialism and communism. Chavez and Maduro inflicted on that country the very same Adam Schiff that these Democrats out here are trying to do to all of us right now. That Mom Donnie is getting ready to do to New York. Everywhere their Adam Bullshit has been tried in this country, in this world, it ends up the same way. Never forget, it's all a scam. It's all a lie. They're trying to destroy you. This is John Jackson. I'll see you guys out there. Montana's